Views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Big wave from Bob. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition. Here we are already on August the 14th. Excessive heat warning out there for Tucson for today and tomorrow. And looking ahead at the forecast, there is a suggestion that we will have the highest temperatures ever recorded in August in Tucson next week. So, maybe it's a good time for me to be heading up to Canada, which is planned for next Thursday. So the timing, I think, is going to be very good for that. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Of course, my website, buckmastershow.com, has all of our podcasts. We make it very easy for you to hear our program. All of the programs are archived, available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to be taking a deep dive into animal care here over the next half hour with Kristen Hassan-Auerbach. Kristen is Director of Animal Services at Pima County's Animal Care Center. Kristen, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Boy, you were out in that heat getting over here, and traffic was crazy. It's tough this time of year, I'll tell you, in Tucson.
It is. My steering wheel's melting.
Have you, this is your two-year, well, actually, July was your two-year anniversary. Coming from Austin, Texas, where you were involved with animal welfare issues, have you seen some people driving around with mittens and gloves because it gets so hot?
It was, even having come from Austin, it was a surprise how hot it gets here, and a surprise to see people out with their pets in this heat. I still am surprised when I see pets walking around in the sun, but the animals are so much more acclimated to it here.
Yeah, but I mean, if they are going to be out, maybe they should wear those booties.
The booties are essential, yes.
Yeah, because otherwise their little paws are going to be burning up on the pavement. Good news for Tucson as far as pet friendliness. I've known for years we're very much an animal caring city, and that was verified by Better City for Pets. This is a program but from the Mars Pet Care people?
That's right.
Tell me about this. They have designated Tucson one of America's top pet friendliness cities. Why is that?
Well, this was one of several accolades Tucson has gotten over the last few months for being one of the top pet friendly and specifically dog friendly cities in America. There's a lot of reasons for that, from the life-saving shelter, which we're really proud of, to the abundance of dog parks and hiking trails and pet-friendly businesses. All of these things add up to make Tucson a really attractive place for pet-loving people to move, live, and work.
The new facility, how is it doing?
It's amazing. It's.
When was the dedication? Was that just a year ago?
Yeah, it was completed a year ago, and we had our big grand opening, even less than that, but the pack kind of looks like a shopping mall now. When you go in during the day, it's full of kids and families and people looking to adopt and just visit, and it is packed all the time, and it's just great. People are so excited to be there.
When I was there for the opening ceremonies, there was an issue about getting another full-time vet on staff. Give us an update on what that picture looks like.
We are so excited. We have four full-time veterinarians.
Wow.
Yes. And one of those is funded through a generous donor who wanted to make sure that every pet got the care it needed while it was at PAC, and is actually helping us pay for that fourth vet. So we have a veterinarian there 7 days a week, and often more than that, because we're taking care of a lot of animals. We brought in this past month about 1,500, the month before 2,000. The numbers are really high, and that's because it's the busy summer season when we see the highest intake. So those vets are quite busy keeping up with all the animals who need them.
So the animal shelter right now is pretty much packed. Is that a safe assumption?
It's packed at PAC.
Packed well, at PAC.
The new facility.
Or is there still a little bit of breathing room?
It gives us a little bit of breathing room. I think when it was built, what the taxpayers who voted for the bond expressed is they never wanted to see another headline that said PAC forced to euthanize for space or could be forced to euthanize for space. And for the past 2 years, we have not had to euthanize any pets due to lack of space. And that is thanks so much to the new building. But it is nonetheless too many animals being housed at PAC. We are about 700 to 900 on any given day between cats and dogs. And while we have the kennels for them, those pets would be so much better off in foster and adoptive homes than they are in the shelter. And the more crowded we get, the more we get concerned about disease outbreaks and just the decline in the stress that happens for animals when they're in those close quarters.
Let's talk a little bit about your two-year tenure now at Pima County Animal Care Center. How are things different than when you took over? And what were some of the big focus areas? And I know one of them was the foster program. Give us a little bit of an update on that.
Yeah, I came to PAC 2 years ago when we were still in the old facility, but the leadership of Pima County and Tucson and the other partners, they had already expressed this huge commitment to animals in our community. And the taxpayers had supported that with the bond. So we knew the new facility was coming. But that whole first year was really spent in transition, moving into the new building and getting the finishing touches put on. This year, this past year, the focus has been on creating and building and improving our program. So the foster program, for instance, has gone from about 1,500 pets a year to 5,000 to 6,000 pets a year. And it's allowed us to carry, we have 1,500 animals in our custody right now, but only 700 of those are at PAC. So we're at any time housing more animals in the community than we are in the shelter, which was the goal.
How does all that work? How does someone become a foster?
You can come to PAC. We send people home. 9 times out of 10, if you come and tell us you want to foster, you're going to go home with a pet that day. It's no harder than adopting an animal. Or you can go on our website and look up all the groups of animals that need foster and just shoot us an email and we get you set up with a pet that's appropriate for your situation.
I know that animals that are turned in, it's always so sad. And there are a variety of reasons why animals are turned in. As you know, Kristen, but it's very sad when you see a pair, and I think you posted something about this on Facebook today about kind of what we call bonded animals.
Yeah,
it can be a dog and a cat. It could be two special needs brother and sister cats, like the brother and sister that we adopted about 5 years ago, who were huddled together, so scared in their little cage. But it's very sad to think that they may be separated, these bonded pairs.
Yeah, so our thinking has really evolved on this over the past couple of years because the first priority is life-saving. If we have animals come in as a pair, we know it's going to take longer to get them adopted if we insist they be kept together. And so in the past, that's prevented us from being able to keep pets together when they come in. We're in a little bit of a different situation now where we can start to say on a case-by-case basis, these pets are truly bonded. And they have spent their lives together. And we find one of the saddest things that happens is an owner will pass away or become unable to care for their pets and they'll come to us. Those pets may have lived 10 to 12 years ago. And so we're trying in any case we can, and our volunteers are instrumental in this to help keep those pets together when we can do it.
What are some of the reasons that people turn in pets?
9 times out of 10, it's because they have a medium to long-term life crisis. So some of it is simple. Someone needs to go to the hospital and they don't have a person to care for their pet. But in most cases, people can't find housing. They can't afford medical care. They're moving and can't take their pets with them. They're human problems that cause animals to be surrendered. And when crisis hits, oftentimes a family pet is the first thing to go. So our intake lobby, people sometimes think people are just flagrantly getting rid of their pets, and that's not at all the case. They're often really tragic, sad stories that have led pets to being there.
How about your save rate right now? Where are you when you took over 2 years ago? And now what do the numbers look like, Kristen?
So we hear a lot about we talk a lot about save rate and why that matters. And our save rate is about 90%. So about 9 out of 10 animals who come in are leaving the shelter alive. And the reason that matters is sometimes we hear, oh, it's about the numbers. Actually, every one of those numbers translates to an individual animal. And the commitment that we've made at PAC is that we're going to give every animal a fair chance at a live outcome. And there is that 1 out of 10 that is either been hit by a car and is injured beyond our ability to take care of it, or it's truly at the end of its life and it needs to be humanely euthanized, or it's really unsafe and can't be placed back in the community. So there is and will always be that small number of animals that we either cannot save or we're unwilling to release back to the public. But by and large, most animals that are coming in are leaving alive, and that's consistent with Pinal County's also doing amazing in life-saving, Maricopa County. So as a state, we're really making efforts to save every pet, and that's what our community has asked us to do.
The shelter is, you've got an event coming up, Shelter Clear the Shelters, and that's Saturday, right?
Yes. So I just looked at our inventory today, and we have 400 dogs on site and 300 cats on site. Mm-hmm. Those numbers are creeping up. And so the Clear the Shelter event is a national event, and the aim is to get as many pets out of shelters at the time when nationally pets are going to be most at risk of euthanasia due to space. So we are participating. Enthusiastically participating, hoping to reduce those numbers. Last year, August, we were when our numbers became truly critical. We had over 500 dogs and 350 cats, so we're hoping to keep that down this year and not get up to that census.
There'll be some specials, right, this weekend?
Adoption, yes.
Adoption fees are going to be waived.
Waived
on all
adoption
pets
fees, yes. This is very unusual for us.
Yeah, 4 months and up, right? Mm-hmm. All pets that are 4 months and up, and that's happening this Saturday.
Yep. So puppies and kittens are still the $50 adoption fee, but even that is an amazing deal because you're getting vaccines, spay and neuter, microchip, and everything else you need to take your pet home. But any pet 4 months and up are going to be fee waived. And this is a time, if people come out and adopt now, they can know they're truly saving a life, because every one of those kennels counts right now, given how many animals we have at PAC.
All right, Kristen, we will keep you over for another segment. Got lots more to talk about with Kristen Hassan-Auerbach, Director of Animal Services at Pima County's Animal Care Center. Right now, I want to tell people, Kristen, about one of our great sponsors. Do you like bakery goods?
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, my favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve does such a great job now with their breakfast. They're open each morning, 6:30. The grill's fired up and ready to go. They got a great breakfast menu. Things are doing very well. My wife and I were there on Sunday, about 10 o'clock in the morning. The place was packed, so that was good to see. Mona's located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. More about our pet-friendly city, Tucson, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment about animal care in Pima County, we'd love to hear from you. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's trusted independent news talk station. Kristen Hassan-Auerbach is Director of Animal Services at Pima County's Animal Care Center, and we were talking before the break. This Saturday, August 17th, is an event called Clear the Shelters, and that's a very big and important event. But in my own little way, Kristen, I have an event that's going to benefit, I hope, the support organization for Pima County Animal Care Center, and that's the Friends of PAC.
Yes, we are so grateful and excited about this.
And what it's going to be is this Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock and running through the last Saturday of September, I have donated about two dozen antique old prints, maps, some beautiful pieces that are going to be very, very reasonably priced. I think it's anywhere from $75 to $300. 100% of my proceeds will go to benefit the Friends of Pima Animal Care.
It's so heartening that you're doing this for us, and it's a great example of how someone can help PAC in a way that you might not even think of. And those funds are going to translate directly into lives saved. They'll provide medical care for animals that otherwise wouldn't have a chance. So we are really grateful and excited about this and can't wait to see what happens.
And that will be over at one of our great sponsors, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. It's Moe's is right next door to Copenhagen over there at Dodge and Fort Lowell. And again, the sale and the viewing begins when Moe opens up Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and the sale will continue through the last Saturday in September. You're on your way to Australia.
Yes, I am.
What's going on?
Headed there to speak at their National Animal Welfare Conference. So doing eight sessions and going to get to talk about PAC for a four-day conference there.
You speak at conferences all over the country. Would you say that we are, I guess, can we say we're kind of on the cutting edge of animal welfare issues in this community?
Yeah, I think this community has really turned PAC into a national model, and it is truly... The thing that's unique about PAC and Pima County is that this was a grassroots effort. It was generated by the volunteers, the fosters, the adopters, the community, and the leadership to build this amazing facility. And the thing that people notice nationally about PAC is it's not just a shelter, it's a community effort. And this county and Tucson, it takes collective responsibility for its homeless pets, and that makes us really unique and a model.
One of the things that was pointed out as the people associated with Mars Pet Care, their Better Cities for Pets program, naming Tucson one of the top cities in the United States for pet friendliness, was the availability of pet-friendly housing options. And we kind of talked about that a little bit with the foster program that you have going and has been very successful. We have not talked about the Community Cat Program. What's that about?
Well, we in the old days of sheltering, cats would, all cats, feral, friendly, any cat in the community could be brought in by anyone, and typically they were euthanized because there were not outcome options for non-friendly cats, and so it meant that literally thousands or tens of thousands of cats would lose their lives. In 2014, I believe, Tucson, Pima County started the TNR program, so any community cats can be sterilized and released. We have had an overwhelming response to this program, to the extent that this year we have expended all of our available resources through December because so many folks have come forward and brought us cats. So we did 3,500 cats this year, and those are surgeries funded by Pima County. Next year, we're going to be looking at a more targeted approach because what we're noticing is that most of our TNR is done when people have a colony of cats and they need help. What we're not doing yet here is targeting certain zip codes, targeting certain areas where the intake is the highest and where cats are breeding at the highest volume. So this coming year, we're going to be looking at a more targeted approach to make sure we're getting all the cats in one area and then moving on to another area. But there's certainly still an abundance of cats and kittens, and we have taken in about 3,000 kittens this year so far.
How about feral cats?
Yeah, so feral is a word that typically means unsocialized, not handleable by people. And so when we do get those cats into the shelter, what we do with them is that if they're healthy and they're able to be released, if those cats come into us, we spay, neuter them, vaccinate them, and then return them to the community where they can live out their lives. That is their best chance for a live outcome because those cats are often impossible or very, very hard to socialize to the point they could be adopted.
There was a story last month in the Arizona Daily Star that animal hoarding in Pima County over the last 5 years seems to be way higher than cities our size. This is kind of a difficult subject to kind of wrap your head around why we're having this high number of animal hoarding cases.
Getting to sort of be hands-on involved in some of these cases, what we find time and time again is we go into a home, someone has 50 to 100 animals, they are overwhelmed caregivers, and they are afraid to contact us. So they're afraid that if they call us, they're going to lose their home, they're going to lose all of their pets. And that's where we're doing the work now, to build bridges with those folks, to help them reduce the population to a reasonable number. And it's our hope that over the next few years, as we work with people and really teach them that we're there as partners to help them, not as people to punish them or take their home, that we'll be able to help more of them and reduce the number of cases where we do have animal hoarding. But most of those are not ill. They're people that mean well, and they don't know how to access spay neuter resources. And so we're really tackling the problem from a lot of different places. And one of the cool things we're going to be doing is working with the health department and hopefully code enforcement to take a multifaceted approach, because there's typically human health and animal health issues happening in those places.
Only about a minute left. What is your goal now as you enter year three for your program here?
Our vision is that PAC is truly a community pet resource center, more than an animal shelter, and certainly gone are the days of the dog pounds. A place where pet lovers can gather, can access resources, can find their new family member. We are interested in building lifelong relationships with people when they come to adopt or foster. And so we're just going to keep growing the programs we're doing. We're certainly not perfect. We adopt out, we take in 17,000, adopt out 12 to 13,000 animals a year. We're always striving to do better for pets and people, but we're just going to keep keep on listening to the community and trying to build the best animal services in the country.
And Facebook really helps too, doesn't it?
Yep. Social media is key. It has changed the game for us in terms of being able to save animals.
Kristen Hassan-Auerbach, Director of Animal Services at Pima Animal Care Center. Thank you. And again, this Saturday, August 17th, give us the quick overview of the Clear the Shelter event, please.
Okay, my pro tip is come early. So if you can come adopt this week, you're going to beat the crowds and get an amazing selection of pets. If you can't, come for Clear the Shelters on Saturday. Fee waived adoptions. It's going to be a big party, food trucks. It's going to be a huge celebration of pets and life-saving. And we are hoping, our goal is to place 100 animals in homes in one day. So please come out and adopt.
All right. Thank you very much,
Thank
Kristen.
You. Thanks, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site, not only home to great plants, everything you need for the garden, but also home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, much of it handcrafted, beautiful things from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. There are five shops that make up Zocalo Village at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Be right back on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted, independent news talk in Southern Arizona.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the following segment made possible by our friends at Sierra Tucson. With me in studio, Dr. Bennett Davis. Dr. Davis is director of the Pain Recovery Program at Sierra Tucson. Dr. Bennett is the past president of the Pima County Medical Society and has served as founder and director of the University of Arizona Pain Center from 1995 to 2002. Also with us in studio, Suzanne Miller, the marketing director for Sierra Tucson. Suzanne, good to see you.
Good to see you again, Bill.
And Dr. Davis, good to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Suzanne, this would be an appropriate time at the beginning of our interview to tell our listeners a little kind of the 30,000 foot above view of Sierra Tucson. What services, what is your mission in the community?
Our mission is really to help those that are suffering from addiction. And there's also what we're talking about today is pain. And those are really two really big ones that we want to focus on in the segment today. But we are right here in the backyard of Tucson, which most people don't know. We are up in the Catalina Mountains, and it's a beautiful space. Obviously, everybody is in Tucson because we love it here. But it's a healing space. It's really serene, and it's a place where we're dedicated to the integrated approach of healing addiction and pain, and looking at it from a different perspective than most people do. And that's what Dr. Davis is going to talk about today.
Yeah, I want to talk with Dr. Davis about this, why an integrative model of care, why is that critical, doctor, in the healing process for pain? Why don't we begin there?
That's a good place to start. So chronic pain is defined as pain that's lasted 6 months or more and isn't getting better and interferes with a person's quality of life. It can happen because people have arthritis, because they have back injuries, they've had surgeries that haven't worked out well, that sort of thing. But it also turns out that a lot of folks with chronic pain, we're finding out, have pain that comes from within the nervous system. And by that, I can give you a good example. Mm-hmm. Phantom limb pain. Mm-hmm. So a person loses a leg.
Right.
Yet the foot hurts. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, a year later, 5 years later. Mm-hmm. So where's that coming from? Is it coming from the foot? Well, obviously not. It's not coming from the tissue. It's actually coming from in the nervous system. When I talk to people about that, when I use that as an example, they'll often point to their heads and say, oh, it's coming from my head.
Yeah.
It's not. It's coming from within the nervous system, changes in the nervous system from losing a leg, from the injury to the nerves. So pain can also come from within the nervous system from a different type of trauma, not a physical trauma, but traumatic events, life-threatening traumatic events that people live through. People who survive those actually have changes in the nervous system that mimic the phantom limb pain. Looks sort of like that. And what it will lead to is changes in the way the nervous system wants to handle information coming from the tissues. So, for example, in fibromyalgia, you can have the nervous system reporting to the brain, just like in phantom limb pain, that there's pain in the tissue when there's really nothing wrong with them. So having given you that explanation, you can see that treating the tissue with surgery, mm-hmm. physical therapy, mm-hmm. medications, injections, even acupuncture, massage, all that sort of thing, best diet in the world, living well, sleeping well, won't do it if there's been a change in the nervous system from either physical or experiences that are traumatic. That's where all the tools that are at Sierra Tucson come into play. And when we say integrated, we mean we're partnering with the behavioral health folks who know how to treat those changes in the nervous system. Turns out, fortuitously, that tools that we use to treat PTSD work reprogram, rewire the nervous system. So that's the integrated model as it relates to pain. We borrow and from the behavioral health folks, my colleagues in behavioral health. We collaborate with them, with the trauma program at Sierra Tucson, which is also a strong program there on its own. And we also treat the medical side. So the integration is behavioral and medical together.
And sometimes people just, they've had problems that they go to a doctor and the doctor will give them opioids. And they think that's going to, I don't know, maybe that's not going to solve the problem in the long run, is it?
Well, it certainly doesn't solve the problem. We use blood pressure medication and diabetes medicine to keep the problem in check. And there's times when opioids for pain would be appropriate. However, if what's going on is not a problem with the tissue, but in the nervous system, and we put somebody on opioids, over decades, they seems like, now we're learning, they tend to get worse. And those folks often will be on other medications for some of the other effects of the trauma they've experienced, and that would be medicines for anxiety and depression, and that's a bad combination. So I think a lot of the people that have gotten in trouble on opioids, accidental overdoses, actually were those, that group of people. They were put on the opioids for pain, but it was coming from the nervous system, and over the long run, they did poorly over time and might have accidentally taken too much.
What kind of physical conditions are we talking about here when we talk about chronic pain?
So physical conditions could be, as I mentioned, the arthritis. They could be surgeries.
People recovering from heart attacks?
They could be not so much those folks coming in for the chronic pain program, but actually everything that we do would work really well for the the rehabilitation from that sort of a chronic illness. So those are the physical conditions we'll see. And a lot of times people have sort of a double whammy. They have had some medical illness or surgical problem, maybe a back fracture, a spine injury, or a bad car accident, and they're recovering physically from that, you know, trying to get back from that, and they don't quite make it. And the treatment itself, or the accident plus the treatment, is actually kind of traumatic. So they've got a double whammy. They've got damage and injury to the tissue, plus they've got traumatic events that, that are, you know, life-threatening surgery and being hurt can be that way.
Talk a little bit about more about the Sierra Tucson integrative model of pain, handling pain, and how that's done perhaps differently at Sierra Tucson than other places.
So again, the integrated care model is bringing the behavioral and medical together, all the tools that you need to treat the tissue and the nervous system as well. So we're treating also the mind and the spirit, because people are depressed or anxious about not being able to get back to work or live their lives. And there's a family involved. So we actually go out to treating the family as well. But the tools that we bring to the table include medical folks like myself with training in pain medicine and orthopedics. They include psychiatry, therapists, both family and individual therapists who specialize in trauma and other areas, naturopathic providers, physical therapy. We have yoga therapy, pool therapy, things to get people moving. And then underneath all that, we have people who are specialists in acupuncture, in craniosacral therapy, things like that, that kind of help people keep it together while they're working on all this other stuff.
And chronology for typically how long does it take someone to see some kind of results?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
I came to Sierra Tucson a little over a year and a half ago, and I was a little skeptical that we could really accomplish much in a month.
Right.
And it sounds corny, but there's a sign when you go in there, expect a miracle. It is amazing what can happen in a month when you combine everything that I'm talking about into a treatment plan that really addresses what the individual needs. Not cookie cutter. You have to individualize it. In a month, people really do sort of turn things around. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest turnarounds is when they realize, oh, okay, I trust you. It's not in my head, and some of this is in my nervous system, and I've got to work on getting rid of the trauma, and that will help me with my pain. And then they follow up with that when they leave. They sort of believe that they can get better. I had a patient today say, I can't believe I'm getting better. This is after 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that's a turn.
Yeah.
You know, that's she's not there yet. She's not going to be there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. That mind-body connection is very important too, isn't it, Dr. Davis?
It is. And you sort of hit one of my favorite talking points. If we have another 2 hours, I'll brief
about,
you on it.
How about give it to me in 30 seconds? There you go.
So, you know, when you think of the mind-body, it's mind-body, right?
Yes.
If it's not in your body, if you're seeing me about your pain and it's not in your body, where is it? In that paradigm, it's in your mind. And that actually turns a lot of people off from getting treatment that they need. That hyphen is the nervous system. So it's mind, nervous system. Body, nervous system, mind, spirit, family, you know, that sort of thing. So we got to hit all those different levels.
Suzanne Miller, what about insurance coverage? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we really encourage people to call our admissions team, and they can directly look at, you know, they really investigate what each person has as far as insurance. So we do accept most insurance payers, and of course, we can do full pay as well, but we have an amazing admissions team that can really guide everybody on what works best for them. And it is an individualized treatment plan. And I do encourage people to really grasp that, because just as Dr. Davis said, it is mind, body, and soul. Everybody comes in at a different space, mm-hmm. and we meet them where they are.
It's not a cookie-cutter approach by any means. This is an individual approach to someone's care, correct, Dr. Davis?
Definitely true.
Where can people find out more, Suzanne Miller?
Well, our number is 800-842-4487. Again, that's 800-842-4487. And our website is sierratucson.com. SierraTucson.com, and that really has a lot of great information on it. But really, to answer your unique questions, call our admissions team, and we're ready to help you.
Do you give tours of your property?
We do, absolutely, and we encourage our community to come out and learn more about us. And actually calling that number, mm-hmm. we can set you up with that as well. But we do want to learn more about our community. It's very important to us, and help us help you understand exactly what we do and how we can help those that you love or yourself.
Great information. Suzanne Miller, always a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure and for you, Bal.
Thank you. And Dr. Bennett Davis, we thank you very much, Dr. Davis, for coming in. And it was a pleasure to meet you as well, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. The Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk. We will continue right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-7000. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Hey, it's about time to take a road trip, isn't it? Over to Silver City where it could be 10 degrees at least cooler. And that would feel really good right now in Tucson, where we have an excessive heat warning for the next couple of days. And then And then the talk next week of the warmest temperatures ever recorded here in Tucson. So I haven't seen any numbers. I'm just guessing post 110 area or up.
20.
Up to 120.
Well, it's the highest ever. Highest. We got up to 118 or 19 back.
Yeah,
in the
well,
90s.
They do. They are saying Mark Sykes with us here in studio, but they are saying for August the warmest.
Okay.
Now for July, that would have been up to 120. Because I remember a couple of years ago, July, driving home after the show midday, and the thermometer in the car, Mark, was 121. So, but I'm thinking August, maybe we'll get off like 110, 112, but still too hot and very little rain this year. Very little rain. Mark Sykes is with us, Dr. Sykes, CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute and a regular contributor. So honored to have Dr. Sykes and about two dozen other folks who regularly contribute to this program. And Mark, I want to talk a little bit with you about whether or not you agree with some folks are saying, that we are in a new space race in America. And if you do agree with it, some folks are saying we're far behind.
We're always in a race with somebody for something, right? But in terms of in space, there hasn't been too much talk about just exactly, are we talking about weaponization? If we're going back to the moon and that's somehow part of a military expansion, that's certainly not anything that anybody, including us, have been talking about. And so I don't think there's a race in that regard there. The Chinese have demonstrated some really good technology in terms of being able to put a spacecraft on the moon. They plan to put, humans on the moon. But whether that's just a one-off whether they have longer-term plans and what that would be for, and what the strategic interest of that would be, or whether it's purely a science interest, who knows?
So the space race to the moon is not necessarily there, but however, the proliferation of these laser and cyber weapons could be a big deal.
I guess you don't have an atmosphere to shoot through when you're on the moon, but it's a big volume of space, I'm not thinking that the moon would be a particularly advantageous place to put all your assets. Mm-hmm. But we talk about the moon, of course. Now it's we're going to the moon as a stepping stone to Mars, and but we're not defining what it is that we're going to be doing at Mars, which then drives what we should be doing at the moon. So if we're just going to Mars to plant a flag, then what we have to do at the moon is very simple, some landing technology, and so that you do the same kind of thing on Mars, and we're done. If you're going to Mars to plant a colony, like Musk would like to do, now there's a hell of a lot more that we need to do on the moon. There's a lot more activity and longer term activity that would need to be done on the moon in order to support that type of thing: resource utilization, telepresence operations, construction of facilities in low gravity. There would be, if our long-term goal on Mars is to establish a permanent human habitation, well, that's a whole different thing. So we go from just testing the landing equipment, if the goal on Mars is the flag, or something much more extensive. And that hasn't been defined yet. And so, until we define what it is our goals on Mars are, then we can't really design well what it is that we're doing on the moon, apart from just making another statement, planting another flag.
Are we building on the foundations of the Apollo mission from 50 years ago when you talk about returning to the moon?
Not really, because frankly, it's old technology.
It was great,
I mean, great stuff at the time.
Ahead of its time, with the early use of the computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Major redesign now, and there's little that even survives from the shuttle era that's actually being implemented. Fuel mixes are changed, composition of things are changed. These are new designs, and so that's normal. I mean, we can develop lifting systems that provide more bang for the buck, you know, more efficient lift, more than we could 50 years ago.
Would the rocket be that much different this time around?
Well, the rocket equation still works, you know. Yes. That's still the case, but no, we got better materials and we got better formulas, and so mm-hmm. there's differences in terms of we should be able to do it better than we did 50 years ago.
But getting back to this space race, who are we competing against? Are you talking about like India? I mean, certainly China is in the mix, the Soviets.
When I was testifying last June for Congress, it was that, you know, we should be competing with ourselves. You know, we can't get ahead by looking behind us and seeing where our quote competition is going. We need to decide what it is that we want to do, what's to our advantage, and then be diligent about pursuing that. That's what being a leader is taking the lead, not worrying about, you know, what other people are doing and having that guide everything that we do. So we shouldn't want to go back to the moon because the Chinese are there. Mm-hmm. We should go back there to the moon because that's our objective, mm-hmm. and we have a purpose for doing that. We haven't defined what it is yet, but that's what we should be doing is saying, we want to go on to Mars to do this.
And we have not defined that yet, where is the moon going to play in the whole Mars mission?
Right, because without defining the Mars mission, you can't really design the moon mission. You know, you don't know the range of things that you need to be able to do on the moon, that you have to do on the moon to support the Mars mission, if the Mars mission's not defined.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, if it's just to plant a flag, well, that's one set of criteria. But if it's to establish a larger permanent presence on Mars, where we keep wanting to be going back all the time and maintaining a growing population there, well, that's a whole different can of worms. In fact, there's a lot that would have to be done on the space station and elsewhere in order to figure out, can that work and what would it take to achieve it?
Do we need
that would be exciting, but...
Yeah, what role does the moon play in a Mars mission for the United States? Do we even need to go to the moon before we go to Mars?
I would say it makes sense because it's a low gravity target that's nearby,
uh-huh.
and so we can test things there that we would use on Mars.
Could we launch from the moon to Mars? Or
no,
is that,
no, no, no,
okay.
no. That'd be,
just,
that'd be that'd
you know
that's
me.
Crazy talk.
There's no stupid questions,
No, no, that because the moon is also a gravity well, and you need extra fuel to get out of any gravity well. So if we're going to go to Mars, we'd probably put together that vehicle in space in Earth orbit, it's just lunar space, and then it heads off. It doesn't have to lift off a surface.
It just seems that, I don't know, when is this definition of what we want to do? When is that coming, Mark Sykes?
Well,
this
we've waited definition. 50 years, Bill. I don't know. Maybe it'll be in another 50 years.
We keep hearing all these mixed messages from NASA.
Well, and it's not so much from NASA, but it's from the administration and past administrations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Obama administration, it was the flexible path scenario where we were going to go off to an asteroid.
Right.
Well, it wasn't clear why, and I was on a panel that said, here's all the great science we can do by going to an asteroid, and then the NASA people stood up and said, and this is why we're going to an asteroid, and I said, no, because all that great science that I was pointing out could be done by sending people there could be more cost-effectively done with robotic spacecraft. Before that, with the Bush vision for exploration, again, we're going back to the moon and on Mars. But at the end, that what we were going to be doing was unclear, And so and PSI and Raytheon Missile Systems teamed together to as one of the architecture teams. And we were saying, okay, well, let's presume that it's going to be a self-sustainable type thing where we keep going back and we want to have an open-ended architecture. And so we had near-Earth asteroid resources. We had lunar resources, Mars resources, see if Phobos and Deimos at gas stations. And NASA hated it because it wasn't what they were thinking of. So it's like, oh, okay, fine. But yeah, we have to understand what our ultimate objectives are out there in order to design what we need to do in the near term.
And when we figure those out, maybe you'll be the first to tell us. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute. If you'd like more information, I'm a member. I encourage everybody to be a member of this fine nonprofit here in Tucson. Their website, psi.edu.
Yeah, thank you,
there
Bill.
There you go, Mark. Great to see you. Thank you very much. On behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes and Bob Dio, our fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.